Good morning to each one of you here, followers of Jesus Christ. Welcome to this meeting. God bless you. Bless us together as we look into the Word of God, direction for our life. The last message that I preached here, I titled it The Proper Concept of God, or A Right Concept of God. The message this morning is a sequel to that message. I've titled the message this morning, The Heartbeat of God. Now, I want to use the word heartbeat. We're not using it in the literal or physical sense as we use the word heartbeat, but rather using it as an idiom. And what I mean by that, not literally, but in a figurative sense, we use a lot of idioms in the English language or in our language. And what I mean by that is, for example, we might say that I've got cold feet over that deal. Well, I don't really have cold feet. But just what I'm saying is that I'm not comfortable with the deal. I'm not going on with it. Or we might say he or she spilled the beans. Well, there was no beans spilled, literally. But what we're saying is he or she said something that should have been kept secret or revealed something that wasn't known. Or if you're a farmer, you might say, well, that was a bum steer. Well, again, there was no steer involved. Just saying it was a bad deal. And so we do that. And so that's why I say, when I use the word heartbeat this morning, I'm not talking about the physical or literal sense that we use the word heartbeat, but rather metaphorically or something that symbolizes something. Other way that we could state it, when we say the heartbeat of God, I could say that which God is compassionate about. That's really the heartbeat of God. So I trust you understand what we're saying. Say the heartbeat of God. And so first off, as I think of the heartbeat of God, and I hope you're all in the same boat with me as followers of Jesus Christ. You know, there's something within me. I would like to know the heart of God better. I just really would. I just desire to know God's heart. And just to draw closer to God and just really know the heart of God. I think that should be a quest of all God's people. You know, David was such a man. In fact, God said that, referred to David as a man after mine own heart. And I believe in the sense he was saying that David's life, he conducted himself in such a way and he sought the Lord in such a way that he won the heart of God. But I think coupled with that, he was also saying that David was after the heartbeat of God. He wanted to know what God was really, what the heartbeat of God was. And what God was compassionate about, David was compassionate about. And so, I would just like to know the heart of God better. I really would. And then especially as we go through life and things happen, we face circumstances or issues in life, and when those things happen, I just really like to know what the heart of God is in the matter. What is the heart of God in the matter? Now, some of those things we just have to leave with God, who has the answers. We don't necessarily always find the answer in those things. But I don't think there's anything wrong with just really pleading and seeking to know the heart of God in even those kind of matters and so forth. To know the heart of God more fully, I believe, should be our desire. You know, we have relationships here on earth, one-to-one relationships, friends and so forth, and you know, some of those relationships are very close, perhaps, and and where we almost know each other's heart. We know what the heartbeat is, what the one and the other is. Very good friends and so forth. We just kind of know where they're at. The highest relationship, I believe, that we can have in this earth is that relationship between husband and wife. That's a relationship that I believe is why my wife and I, we consider each other our best friend on earth. And that's the way it should be. It's the highest relationship, I believe, that we can have. And in that type of relationship, we desire to know each other's heart. We really do. And we have a right to know each other's heart. We have the right to know what the heartbeat of each other is. A marriage relationship, when it's in God's order, is not just a mediocre experience. We should never just settle for that. It almost sounds like I'm getting into a marriage message, but that's not. But I'm just using that to make a point. The point is that God doesn't want just a mediocre relationship with us either. In fact, that's not acceptable. I'm not sure how that all works out. I'm not saying you're cut off from God if you have a mediocre relationship. But God wants a relationship where He knows our heartbeat. He knows where our heart is at. But where we likewise, we search and we seek after God. And we want to know what the heart of God is. We want to know the heartbeat of God. Those relationships are just beyond anything else. We have that kind of relationship. Just blessings are poured out on us. And I believe that's why David, in spite of some of the dark, stained pages of his journey of life, I believe that's why he was what he was and where he got and why he got with God, why he succeeded in his life as he did. All right. First, I'm just going to look at some scriptures here that, and the scripture, believe me, is full of the heartbeat of God. It is the heartbeat of God, and we can know the heartbeat of God, but not necessarily by just reading it. There's more depth to it than that. God wants a deep experience in our life, in our heart. It's not just reading the word and say, "Oh, well, there it is." But it's that relationship that connects, that we have a deep relationship with God. And I repeat that God wants more than just a mediocre relationship with man. Just going to look at a few scriptures here that sets the tenor for us to know the heart of God, to know the heartbeat of God. The first scripture I have here, and there's many, but I just picked a few of them out, is in Psalm 14. Now, that scripture opens up with the first verses that the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." But then it goes on in verse 2, and it says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." Then that tells us something about the heartbeat of God, looking down and searching and seeing. If there's anyone that has any interest in the things of God, is there anyone? And what kind of interest they have? And how deep is that interest? And where will that take you? And what are you willing to do? God is looking out upon the face of the earth. And I believe that's the God that we have today yet. God has not changed. He's looking to see if there's anyone that understands, that seeks to know more about God, that seeks to draw close to God, that seeks to know his heartbeat, and seeks to know what God is like. And then the next one I have is in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. It's a very familiar verse here, but it's just a verse that's so intriguing and fascinating to me as I think of the heartbeat of God. And this is what it says. You know it. It says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." It's amazing, isn't it? Aren't you amazed that a high and a holy God would be willing to sit down, but willing to connect with sinful man, reason with us. We're not very reasonable at times. Man in his lost estate is often unreasonable. Comes up with all kinds of excuses and is unreasonable. And yet, mighty God, the holy God of heaven, says, come now, let us reason together. Let us reason together. We talk about the heartbeat of God for humanity and for us. Were it not for that fact that God was willing to reason with us in our lost estate, probably none of us would be here this morning. It's just amazing that God is willing to do that. And then it talks about our past, the scars, whatever they may be. It says here that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. How can that be possible? Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God is willing to reason, sets reasons with his created beings, with man. Unreasonable, though, as man may be, and as we are in our natural estate, God is willing to do that, and he's willing to change those blots in our life, those scars, anything. He's willing to change. He changes that, makes it white. Beautiful expression of the heartbeat of God. And then the other one I have in the Old Testament is Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is an amazing psalm, again, as it reveals the heartbeat of God. It begins with, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That's the picture of a heart that's after the heartbeat of God. But then, verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Stop reading there. What a beautiful expression of the heartbeat of God. Several verses there that just really highlight this chapter as I think of the heartbeat of God. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And then notice verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Takes a lot to get God upset. Is that what it's saying? I believe compared to us, I for one, I don't understand how God can be patient with what's happening in this generation. Verse 17, it says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Well, I think I mentioned 10 and 11. Again, it says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Why? It would just be fair, it would just be reasonable, wouldn't it? If God would do that, it'd just be fair. Well, verse 11, gives the answer, at least part of the answer. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. So what that's really saying is God's mercy is immeasurable. Can you measure the distance between the skies? Can you measure the distance between the heavens and the earth, the skies and the earth? No. With all his technology and everything. You know, where do you stop? Where do you begin? They can't. They're not able to do that. This simply tells us that his mercy is immeasurable. That's why he hasn't dealt with us according to our iniquities. And especially if hearts that have turned, have repented, have turned to God and sought the Lord. We at least understand that in part. Verse 13 says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God sympathizes. The word pity there means when you pity someone, you sympathize, you feel for him. God understands us, and he sympathizes, and he feels for us. He feels the pain. Maybe that's why he extends his mercy, is immeasurable. And it's from everlasting to everlasting. It wasn't just for the generation of our fathers, our grandfathers, and generations on back. It's everlasting to everlasting, it says. His, to them that fear him. It will be there for my children and my grandchildren and on down if they fear God and if they seek the Lord's face. It will be there. Talk about the heartbeat of God. See the heartbeat of God. And it's extended, as it says, there's conditions to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. There's no stopping place. There's no end to the mercy of God for those that do that. That, beloved, is the heartbeat of God this morning. And that's why you and I can sit here this morning with grace in our life, in our heart. Isn't that wonderful? The heartbeat of God. That's the only reason you and I can sit here as we are. All right. Secondly, let's think of the heartbeat of God. The heartbeat of God is to have a relationship with man. Now, we have a glimpse. Those verses there give us a glimpse of the heartbeat of God. But included in that, God desires to have a relationship with us. We can read about his heartbeat and we can read all these things. But that's just the beginning. God wants us to connect. God wants to connect with us. He wants a relationship with man. And there's a certain mystery, to me anyways, there's a certain mystery attached with the heartbeat of God toward man. I'm not sure, I will probably never totally understand it. Why should God choose man? A weak, imperfect, sinful creature. Why should God choose man as the object of his attention, of his pleasure? There's a certain scripture that says that, I think it's in Psalm chapter 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man? Isn't that, it's just, there's a certain mystery attached there, I think, that the fact that God desires to have a relationship with man. And the heartbeat of God toward man. Why God chose us man. The reason is God is deeply and personally concerned about every one of us. He cares about us. Not just in a casual way. He cares very deeply about his created beings. He cares very deeply about man. Deeply and personally concerned about each one of us. That's why he has revealed his heartbeat. And again, I say the heartbeat of God is right here. It's revealed throughout his word. It's right here. But added on to that, God desires to have a relationship. He wants a relationship. His heartbeat is to have a relationship with us this morning. Through the Godhead, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, which God, which indwells us. Now, in John chapter 14, Jesus was discussing with his apostles there the things of God, the things concerning the kingdom, and he was discussing about him going away and so forth. And we get a picture there. I can get a picture there. The disciples, they were troubled. And it tells us there. That's the chapter that begins with, "Let not your heart be troubled." And he mentioned a number of things to them there in that chapter. But Philip makes a statement to Jesus there that I find interesting. And we can probably identify with. Jesus said in this chapter, it stated that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Well, Philip, in verse 8 here, Philip saith unto the Lord, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. He's simply saying, Lord, if we could just see God, we'd be satisfied. And then Jesus comes back with that answer. And I think it's so amazing. Jesus said to him, Philip, said, have I been so long with you? I've been with you all this time, Philip. And he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He that has the Lord Jesus has the Father. He that has the Son has the Father. And he said, why do you say, show us the Father? And I find that an interesting scripture. As I think of God indwelling the saints, God indwelling his people. And we ask the question sometimes, where is God and what is his heartbeat? Why do we ask that? We see it. Don't we see that? If we're spiritual people, we can see that. We see that. Now, the Lord doesn't walk with us here literally like he did then. But he walks with his people. And to say that we don't know, we can't see the heartbeat of God, we must not, apparently don't have any connection with people of God. Well, moving on, we have the scripture there in Revelation 3, verse 20, where Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And that's a scripture where he says, if any man open the door of his heart, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. And the word sup there, as it used, means to dine, to have a, he's not referring to have a big, again, a big physical, literal supper, but he's referring to have fellowship, to have a spiritual feast. He said, We'll have fellowship. We'll have a spiritual feast together. If you've opened the door of your heart and let me in. And we'll have fellowship. Merv read there this morning in Romans 8, verse 11. It says, but if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Relationship, fellowship with God. That's what God desires. The heartbeat of God desires fellowship with man, with his created beings, with us, with the children of God. And then the third point here I have here, in our relationship with God, his heartbeat becomes ours. Do you believe that? I believe there's something wrong with our relationship if the heartbeat of God doesn't become my heartbeat or your heartbeat, at least in part. Maybe we can never fully embrace it as the Lord has it, or the heartbeat of God. Maybe we can never fully embrace it as he does, but God wants it. And I believe it's wonderful that in our relationship with God, that we can, at least in part, we can have that heartbeat, that same heartbeat. In fact, I'm not just using, not just saying we can, I believe we must have that heartbeat. We must have it. It's something that's essential. And it's more than just knowing his heartbeat, as we read this morning and as we can look at the Word of God. As I stated earlier, it's more than just knowing what the heartbeat of God is. It is possessing it. It's a calling to the people of God to possess it. His compassion becomes ours. His heartbeat becomes ours. And the calling to us is this morning, as I think of our relationship with God, in our relationship with God, that his heartbeat becomes ours, and we embrace that, at least in part, and we should always be striving for it. As Paul said in Philippians 4, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and have fellowship with his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We're pressing toward that, to know him more fully. We want to know the heartbeat of God. We want God and more of him. We'll never get too much of that. So it's more than just knowing his heartbeat. Our calling is to possess the heartbeat of God. And then, added to that, our calling is to show what it looks like. And as I think of the people of God, as I think of our calling that we have this morning, the great challenge to show what the heartbeat of God looks like. Now that's a tall order, as we would say sometimes. A calling to show what the heartbeat of God looks like. Being that the Holy Spirit, God himself, dwells within us through the Holy Spirit, there's something wrong. What else should come forth than God's own heartbeat? Now, I realize we have our humanity to deal with at times. And so we could ask the question, and this is a question I personally think about. As I think of the indwelling of God, in me personally, God dwelling within us, is God comfortable in dwelling within me? I think about that. I ask that sometimes. And I encourage each of us, you ask yourself, as you continue your journey, as you live your life, and what you do, and how you conduct yourself, and what you say, and what your pursuits are, what your heart is after, do you think, is God comfortable with that? You think about it, because Paul said there to the church at Corinth, when he spoke about the issues there, he said, what, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which you have, which is in you, and you are not your own? God dwelling within us. Is God comfortable? Is he comfortable with my life? Is he comfortable? Does he feel uncomfortable? The things I say and where I go and what I do and the things I pursue, would we make God uncomfortable? And I'm just injecting that in the message here, but it's something that I encourage each of us to bear in mind. It really helps us. You know, sometimes we do something or we say something and suddenly we realize that, you know, that really wasn't Christ-like. That really wasn't. And the Spirit smites us. And we take heed to that. That's the heartbeat of God. And we show, we apologize, we say we're sorry, we say we've done wrong, we confess that. That's the heartbeat of God. And that's showing the heartbeat of God. That's part of our calling. As ambassadors of the kingdom, we are called to represent the kingdom of God. We are called to represent the heartbeat of God. Where else, let me ask you, will this generation see the heartbeat of God? The lost, the unsaved, those who are deep in sin, where else will they see the heartbeat of God if they don't see it in me and if they don't see it in you? If they don't see it in the people of God, where else are they going to see it? They won't read the Bible unless the Spirit or something calls them to do that. But I'm just deeply challenged as I think about that. I think about what the heartbeat of God is supposed to look like today in the lives of His people. It's a lot more than just quoting scriptures, being able to deliver a message or a topic, speak on a certain subject. It's what they see in your life, what you represent. Does it match with what Jesus would have done? Does it match with what the followers of Jesus are called to do? In John 17, that was the refer to that as the prayer, the high priestly prayer of the Lord. Jesus said, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Does that mean we're just to live in this world and try to find our way through and make a living? That verse says a lot more than that. Jesus, when he was here, he represented the kingdom and he showed. I refer back to the scripture I read there in John when Philip asked the question, "Well, if you would just show us the Father, then we'd be satisfied." And Jesus said, "Philip, I've been with you all this time and you haven't seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Isn't that amazing? And isn't that challenging? And I think that can be said as to Christians. You've lived among Christians all this time and you haven't seen the Father? You haven't seen the heartbeat of the Father? If that is said of us, there's something wrong. I think I've related this before. There was this man once that was converted, and he worked in a factory. And he repented of his sins, and he experienced salvation. And he shared his experience. He shared his experience with a fellow worker, and the fellow worker said, "Well, I've been a Christian for I don't know how long it was, maybe years." And you know what the man said to him? He said, "You don't have what I have. Or you'd have talked to me about it." You see that? See what we're saying, what we're called? The heartbeat of God is not going to be silent. And God wants us to possess that. And that's what Jesus said when he said, and he was referring to in his prayer when he said, "As you have sent me out, so I have sent them out to show the world what it looks like." What it looks like. And again, we can understand, I believe, in part why Jesus said to Philip as he did in amazement, he said, "Philip, I've been with you all this time, and you say you haven't seen the Father?" And we understand the context of that conversation. But I don't understand it if that's said about us. I don't understand that. If someone would say, I'd have to say, "Well, I'm a Christian all this time, and you don't understand what this is? There's something wrong." So the heartbeat of God calls us to have His heartbeat in our relationship. If our relationship with God is as it ought to be, our relationship with God, then God's heartbeat becomes ours. And as I mentioned, when we make mistakes, there's avenues that show the heartbeat of God if we rightly take care of those mistakes and apologize and make our things right. Paul said to the Christians at Corinth there in 2 Corinthians, he called them living epistles known and read of men. I like that. Living epistles. What does he mean by that? He means they weren't just epistles that were read, but they were seen and known of men. And that's what we're talking about. That's the heartbeat of God, is seen and known of men. We don't just write down what it is, but we show it. We show it. A life that doesn't show what the heartbeat of God is not a Christian life. Is that saying too much? I don't think so. It's going to be manifested. We're going to show what we believe and what we embrace and what our heartbeat is and what we're after. As I think of Paul and his life and how his life changed from night to day when he was converted, and that same zeal that he used when he persecuted the church was now harnessed for the kingdom of God. And he used it for the kingdom of God. And that's why he said in 2 Corinthians, verse 15, he said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. That's the heartbeat of God. The heartbeat of God does that. It gives itself, it spends itself, and it doesn't look for a reward, not in this life. Sure, it's a tremendous blessing and inspiration when you see those things bring fruit. I think in that same verse, Paul goes on and says, even though he's not appreciated, he's less loved. But he said, I'll be spent, and I'll be very gladly, I'll spend and be spent for you. That's the heartbeat of God. That's what Jesus did. He came and he was rejected and crucified by his own. Standing with God, or having the heartbeat of God, means that we stand with the Savior and we weep over Jerusalem, lost souls, unsaved souls. We weep with our Savior over Jerusalem, over the lost, those that are headed for destruction. That's the heartbeat of God, to stand with our Savior, figuratively speaking, and weep over Jerusalem. Shed tears for lost sinners. Paul's expression is epistle to Rome. If you read the first chapter of Romans, it's just full of the heartbeat of God. You see that in Paul, the first part of it especially. He goes into then and he refers to how man has taken his own way. But the first part of it, he desired to see Rome to impart spiritual gifts so they could be mutually encouraged another. You just see that. And finally, you know, seeing that we're called to be living epistles and to convey the heartbeat of God. And so you think, what is that supposed to look like? Well, I don't know what you'll meet in your journey, but the Holy Spirit will lead you and will guide you. If you have the heartbeat of God, it will reveal to you what's right and what is not Christ-like. But if you want to look at a scripture and see what it really looks like, and I'm not going to take the time to read it, but you read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Read that. If you want to see what the heartbeat of God looks like, what it really looks like, read Paul's epistle there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Basically what that chapter is, it's just a picture of Paul's diligence and zeal in preaching the gospel, or we could say his unwearied diligence and zeal in preaching the gospel. That's the heartbeat of God. In showing the heartbeat of God, that was the bottom line that Paul was striving for. As a concluding statement, we could just make a statement this way. As I think of the heartbeat of God, I could just make a concluding statement on that. Is the heartbeat of God is the souls of men. That's basically what it is. That was the heartbeat of our Savior. It's the heartbeat of God. It's the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit as it speaks to us and it indwells us. It's the saving of souls. Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the statement he made there when he met Zacchaeus. And he told Zacchaeus, salvation has come into your house. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That was the heartbeat. It's still the heartbeat. It was the heartbeat of God. It was the heartbeat of our Savior. And it needs to be the heartbeat of his people. It needs to be here at Shade Mountain. We bring it down to our level. It needs to be our heartbeat. Man that has not repented is not ready for the kingdom. It doesn't matter who it is, whether it's our children, whether it's a loved one. If they have not repented, they're not ready for the kingdom of God. And our heartbeat this morning, my desire is, first of all, to know the heartbeat of God more fully. But as we do that, and as we search and seek, and we know the heartbeat of God, and it in turn becomes our heartbeat, we see where that takes us and what that calls us to as followers of the Lord Jesus. His heartbeat needs to be ours. We need to be compassionate after the heart and souls of men. That's what the Bible is about. That's what the kingdom of God is about. That's what the ministry of our Lord is. And that's what the ministry is